Go with me just as a starting point to 1 Corinthians 2 once again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless him. How many believe that all God wants to do tonight will happen?
Yes.
Everything that should happen,
yes,
shall happen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what you've been doing this afternoon. Like Pastor said, hope you rested a little bit. I rested a little bit. Don't think I slept. But yeah, how many have ever taken a nap and not sure if you actually did or not?
Yes.
But did I nap? My wife was like, yes, you were snoring. But anyhow, I did get horizontal is what I did. And but then I just, I soaked in God's presence for a good bit this afternoon and just enjoyed his presence. Amen. And believe it'll be a blessing to you tonight. The word and what he has for you.
Yes, sir.
Did you find that verse?
Yes.
You know, I have a problem I've never figured out how to resolve. Nobody turns in my Bible while I'm telling you to turn, and I always talk while I'm telling you to turn. So it just is what it is. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 2. We heard it this morning, but how many know there's more in it?
Yes.
Amen. There's things I ate yesterday that I ate again today.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I had a banana yesterday. I had a banana today.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
There's things we eat frequently. There's scriptures that we take in frequently.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many here you say you love him?
Amen.
There are things God's prepared for you. He's got a will for his will for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He has things that are generally revealed that are would be true for every believer's life. And then he's got specifics that only apply to your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Relationships. You know, just the whole course that you have to navigate. His plan for your life, and it's great when you know that plan to be able before you try to navigate it.
Yes.
Amen. Otherwise, you ever, I don't know if you've ever played a video game where you're trying to get through some kind of maze, but you make a wrong turn, you end up in a dead end. Or we would just do those mazes on paper when I was a kid. How many remember those? Right. You make a left, and then you got to erase it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so many Christians live that way.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I tried this just to see if it's God.
Yeah.
Well, there's a better way.
Yeah.
That's not the wisdom of God.
No.
That's not doing things with the wisdom of God. Trial and error takes too long for the last days that we're in. We don't have time to go seven wrong directions before we hit the right direction. Right? We don't have time for three wrong relationships before we hit on the right one.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We want to be able to navigate the will of God, navigate the plan of God, both collectively as a body and then individually.
Yes, sir.
And you know, collectively as a body, we need to do better at making sure that the things that we do, I'm talking about local churches, you know, really not here in Mississauga at this church, but you know, those, the people in Brampton, you know how they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They.
We
I mean, some of them, you think they ought to just change the name of their church to Wrong Direction Church. You know what I mean? See, instead of New Life Church, just Wrong Direction Church, because they're going this way. But you know, really, we're not wondering what God's doing in our day. We're not sitting there scratching our heads saying, well, what's God doing? And we're not following after just what's popular or just what's a fad. Praise the Lord. I mean, this church is here because you have some leaders, thank God, that were connected to people who were able to give a real clear sense of the direction of the plan of God. And then God's, you know, they were able to hear from God. They were able to do what we talked about this morning and get the wisdom of God for this local church. Aren't you glad that every few weeks they don't have to get up and say, well, you know, that project we were going to do, that's not right. You know that thing we started? Well,
yeah,
that's not it. You know, and so, but let's do this.
Yeah.
That gets tiring, right? That gets tiring, bumping up and saying, well, that didn't work, let's try this. That didn't work, let's try this. Aren't you glad that we have the plan of God written in the Word And then he reveals to those who have a voice in the body of Christ, he reveals direction. Amen. And he reveals his plan. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so there are things that God has prepared for those that love them. You're not going to see them. You're not going to get them just by what you see with your natural eyes.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So just because someone else in the body of Christ is doing it, does not mean that's God's plan for you. And it doesn't even mean it's God's plan for them.
That's right.
Just means they're into it.
That's true. Amen.
Why am I saying this? Because I don't say this everywhere. But it just means that it's a fad. Christians are so great to get excited about something new, and they totally disregard what's always new, which is real-time interaction with God. Amen. And so they'll get excited about this, excited about that. We're going here. Let's go there. And they're pinball Christians.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Anybody here grow up playing pinball? Yeah. Amen. I used to play pinball. We had a pinball machine. My dad bought it. Well, anything my dad bought, he either picked it out of the trash. We raised Jewish. And you know that thing about Jews being cheap? That's totally real. That's very, very true. At least in my family. You know why Jews have big noses? Air's free.
That's terrible.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. We got a drum set one time. Yes, it was a Muppet Show drum set. Animal was on the thing. The drum heads were broken. My dad was a musician though, so he could take it. He'd clean it up. He'd fix it up. He brought up. My mom's like, "Where'd you get that?" "Well, somebody had it out the curb. Take it back to the curb." That's what I heard growing up. So we had a pinball. Can I get back on my message? Jesus help him. We had a pinball machine. Well, I grew up in South Florida, Hollywood, Florida, right between Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Amen.
Yes.
Now your relatives don't go down there for the winter because Quebec goes to Hollywood. Yes, it's Quebec. Because I grew up four blocks from the Atlantic Ocean. And you'd go over there and you'd see these, we called them snowbirds. Don't feel bad. We call them snowbirds. They'd come down for the winter.
Yes. Yes.
And listen, this was back in the day of Speedos. How many remember Speedos? In case you're sleeping in church tonight, you only want to imagine. So, I mean, big, huge gut. Just came from Quebec. Nobody in Mississauga would do this. Wearing a Speedo and no sunscreen. No, it was like, is that a Canadian thing where we're not allowed to use sunscreen because we don't have sun? Come on now. No sunscreen, so red as a lobster. Red as a lobster. That has nothing to do with anything, okay? It's sometimes better if you don't give me a lot of time, because then But anyhow, the pinball, do you remember the pinball machine? Pinball machine. So my dad got it. We don't know where my dad got it, but it was a full-size, real pinball machine, not a play with. So in South Florida, where I lived, Hollywood, Florida, we had an outdoor screened-in porch. Well, my mom wasn't having that pinball machine in her house. You understand that? So we put it on the porch. Well, it was a screen porch. So when it would rain, which if you don't know, in South Florida, it rains every afternoon from 2 to 2:15. So pretty much. I mean, you know, give or take. But it rains every afternoon, especially during the summer. So, I mean, water would get in there. Water would get on the floor. My brother and I, the thing starts getting rusty. And so we didn't want to put quarters in it, so we just had the key to it. So you could just go in there and push the electronics on it to get something. And I get electrocuted all the time because standing in, we'd come in out of the swimming pool, my brother and I, we'd come in, play the pinball machine, get shocked. But But the whole idea of that pinball machine is not to let the ball make a straight path. It's just, it's to keep the ball bouncing off of things. Amen. So we don't need any pinball Christians. We don't need any Christians that you're bouncing from this, bouncing to that, bouncing from church to, come on now. Come on. We don't, amen. Bouncers are what you put at the door to keep the wrong people out. It's not what you're supposed to be as a Christian. You're not supposed to be a bouncer, bouncing Christian. Amen. So because God has a plan for your life, you don't have to bounce around to find it. He's revealed it to us, verse 10 says, right? He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You don't have a situation that God hasn't already been there. God hasn't already seen it. God hasn't already ordained the exit from it. Amen. And the good news is, don't get me wrong, the good news is maybe you didn't discern the plan of God and you did go your own way and you see, I bounced. Yeah. I'm not on the path I'm supposed to be on. Listen, God's mercy endures forever. You turn to Him, you say, Father, I missed it. Help me find the right path. He can create, come on, He creates roadways in the wilderness.
Yes.
Amen. He'll get you back on. Don't make me come back there. Amen. Because yeah, I will. I was sweet this morning. That's all you get. One service. Sweet. Amen. I will bounce over the chairs. You want me to take my shoes off? I'll take my shoes off before. I respect the house rules, you understand. But I'll come back there if I need to come back there, brothers and sisters. Amen. I've got ammunition. I've been known to throw things. Amen. This morning was the sweet service. Now we're getting sassy. Yes. God's revealed. He's a revealer of secret wisdom. He's a revealer of hidden things. He's got things for you. He's got things for me. But we have to be in a place where we can receive these things. We have to be what the Bible calls spiritual. Spiritual. Spiritually developed.
Yes.
Now, a spiritually developed person is a spiritually sensitive person.
Yeah.
What you get into in this area is, okay, I see that God wants to reveal things to me. How does he do it? Right? You ever been there? How do I find out?
Amen.
Huh? Ouija board? Crystal ball? Huh? Prayer line? Which is kind of the same thing sometimes.
Sorry. Yes, sir.
There's truth in that statement.
This ain't Labatt. This is bubbly. Huh? No, it's not these. It's not these casino type. Casino type. Well, let's just get enough people to pray.
No.
So I want to help you tonight with some things, one thing in particular that will just help you be able to discern all things, like the 12th verse of this second chapter says, he that is spiritual discerns, recognizes, is able to judge and understand all things. Something comes, a decision comes, and you're able to discern and check and go through even a checklist on the inside and say, is this God or is this God? Is it this or is it that? Which way do I go? Left? Do I go right? Do I buy the red one? Do I buy the blue? You know what I'm saying? All these things, God already knows. He already has an answer and the Spirit is ready to reveal things to you if we're in a place to do it. So what we're after is developing spiritually and developing spiritual sensitivity. To where we have this awareness of God's Spirit. Awareness. And when we talk about God's Spirit, really, we're talking about His presence.
Yes.
We're talking about His anointing. Amen. All those words are, in a sense, talking about the same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So we want to get to where we have this awareness. And really, you know what's helpful? A constant awareness.
Yes.
Because how many here, you have to make decisions more than once a month? Do you just do it on the 13th of the month? We make all our decisions on the 13th or the 14th or the 5th, right? No, you're presented with decisions,
yes.
Right? Things come to you when they come.
Yeah.
And I have to decide this. And you know, there's big decisions in life sometimes.
Yeah.
Do I have the surgery or do I not have the surgery? I mean, you know, that's a bigger decision.
Yes.
And you know, for Christians, I would just encourage you along these lines. When you have big life decisions, that's not the time to pull away and hide from the pastor.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's because you didn't hear me, so I'm going to, they just got my mic on, so we'll say it again. That's not the time to pull back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's the time to press in.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Check in.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Get around people who are finely tuned.
Yes.
And not only that, if I can say this, I wasn't asked to say this. It's the truth, so I'll say it. You know, your pastors have an anointing to help you.
Yes. 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 Amen. Thank God.
They're anointed to help you in a way that the prayer line, thank God for, you know, people who will agree with you, but their prayer line doesn't have the anointing to help you
Yes. The
way your pastors have an anointing to help you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
They give account. Why did it get so quiet when I talked about that? Y'all believe different than that here? I figured you did. Why did it get so quiet? Stay close. I don't mean you call every day and say, you know how to stay close to your pastors?
Yes.
Serve.
Yes.
Come to church.
Yes.
Be here.
Yes.
Get involved.
Yes.
And then they're able to do their job of watching over your souls as one that must give an account. They're able to do that when you present, hello, just smile, do something, let me know it's really you. It's like some of y'all went to Niagara Falls to the wax museums and took people out and brought them to church tonight.
Good stuff. Keep going.
Listen.
Love you. First of all, love you. Spiritual awareness. We want to get to where we're spiritually aware, to where if you have these big decisions that come in life, you're able to put your finger on it. Listen, I don't share this everywhere I go. It's not really anybody's business, but it happened. I'm not ashamed that it happened. A couple years ago, I got told, you've got cancer. They told me that. And they used words, they put words with it like aggressive. And they put words, that's stuff you don't want to hear. Advanced, not, it wasn't immediately life-threatening. Didn't have to actually take action at the moment. But they just said, we've identified it through just your physical. I didn't have any symptoms. And so we just identified it through your physical. And then they did a biopsy and you know, all that came back. And so we're faced with recommended courses of action, right?
Yeah.
And so thank God, first of all, had a great doctor. Amen. Had a great doctor. And he said, listen, here's your option. He said, if I were you, if it was me, I'd go this route, which was having a major surgery. And he said, because that's our best shot to really knock it out. But he said, take some time. He said, you want second opinions, third opinions? I'll put you in touch with other people that, you know, that you could get all that. Just really, really good, helpful.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, we got to hear from God.
Yes.
Make a long story short, we feel like we heard from God. We had such peace on the inside to go ahead, have that surgery and came through it and all's good. You know what I'm saying? And God helped us. And really, there were some supernatural things that happened even in that.
Yes.
Some pretty supernatural things. But here's my point. You don't start out making right decisions with the big things. You want to start out with, where do we go for lunch? Now, you might think that's unspiritual. No, if you're unspiritual, then it's unspiritual.
Yeah.
But the spiritual person is connected to God and aware of God all the time. All the time. We're always aware. It's never just me without Him.
That's good.
That's right.
That's right. That's
good. He's my nutritionist.
Yes, He is. Amen.
He knows more. He knows more about the human body. He knows more about my body. He knows what's best for me. He knows what will do good in me. Amen. And so I make my decisions. I check my heart. Yeah. My wife does the same thing. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's not just because we're married, but there's times where she doesn't cook a lot anymore. First of all, the kids are gone. We're gone. We're not around a lot. So whereas we used to just cook something and eat on it for a week, well, we're probably going to be gone. And so when we are home, she'll say, I won't say anything, but I'll have a sense. Eat this today. It's healthy. And she'll come in an hour later and she goes, what do you think about going so-and-so and getting something? A lot of times we'll bring stuff back. What do you think about that? It's like, it's exactly what I was thinking.
Amen.
Well, see, it's a little thing. It's insignificant in the sense that probably no one's life is at stake. Sorry for the spit. It just goes. Probably no one's life is at stake. You know what I mean? It's not. Do we have the surgery? Do we not have the surgery? But we practice. We practice on daily decisions. I don't do anything because I want to do it.
Amen.
Kind of getting off on another subject here, but you want to maintain this awareness to where you're just looking to God all the time, an awareness of His presence. And one of the ways you become aware of His presence is by becoming responsive to His presence. And one of the greatest places to learn to do that is here. And really one of the purposes for what they do at the beginning of the service, the worship where you get to participate. One of the greatest purposes is for you to learn to more tangibly sense God. For you to have real experience with Him. And friends, can I just say, if you can't do that at this church, I don't know where to tell you to do it. I mean, y'all have cultivated a great worship culture here. My opinion, but I think I'm somewhat, you know, I travel a lot. I've been to a lot of places. I just think that what they do here is top shelf in terms of giving you an experience, the opportunity for an experience. So we want to just not show up and occupy a chair. And did you know that the reason for the music is not to give people time to get here so that we can... I didn't mean to come and just clean your house here, man. I told myself I was going to be respectful. I was going to be... No. When I pastored for 10 of the 11 years we were in Orchard Park, and I used to tell my congregation something. It's a doctrine I kind of invented myself. I mean, I called it the first song blessing. And I taught them, I made it up, but I taught them that there's a special blessing when you're there for the beginning of the first song. It's not totally unscriptural. It's not totally unscriptural. It's not just exactly scriptural, but there's truth there. There's truth there. There's one gal. Her kids were dragging their feet on a Sunday morning. She had three kids. She's like, come on, we're going to be late for the first song. We're going to miss the first song. Get in the car. Amen. No, but there's so on every one of those songs, it's an opportunity to connect with God. Amen. Have experience with Him and to get skillful. That helps you become spiritual. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Now, there's another area I want to just get to tonight that to me, if you asked me what would be the biggest, if you had to pick a biggest, because we don't have time to go through a whole bunch of points, but we could hit the biggest one.
Amen.
And so it would be this. So flip on over to the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 3. You're being blessed tonight.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, there's some kids, some children, that they won't obey. They don't listen to the first time. They don't listen the second. And then the mom goes, one. No, that's... You can get conditioned, right? To where I'm just not going to do it unless, bless God, she comes in and starts, gets the belt and starts. I know you're not allowed to do that anymore, but regardless, I'm just saying. I'm just saying there's some kids that won't obey, and there's many believers. It's almost like if you don't come in and start beating, they don't want to respond. They don't want to come to church. But how many know, listen, you ought to be like a good horse at least.
Yes, sir.
Not calling anybody a horse, you understand? don't be like the horse or the mule that has no understanding unless there's bit and bridle, right? But you know, those who have anything to do with horses, and I know nothing about this, by the way, but I just know that they want to get them to where all they have to do is lay the reins on one side or the other side, and the horse turns just by that gentle prompt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Don't make ministers come and beat you. I'm not here to beat you. Right? We love it. We're loving you tonight.
It's true.
But some of you didn't come alive till I threatened you, and so that's. Let's train you to just,
yes.
Amen.
Yes.
In Ephesians chapter 3. I'm not sure I want to go back and listen to this one afterwards.
I mean,
we kind of all over the, okay. So this great prayer in the third chapter, verse 16, he's praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Where?
In your inner man.
Yes. Your inner man. That's where God's on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about spirit, soul, and body. Really, he's in your spirit. Your inner man is really your soul and your spirit together. Mm-hmm. Makes up your inner. Obviously, they're on the inside.
Yeah.
Your body's the outside. So to strengthen in your inner man that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Doesn't this sound like what it said in 1 Corinthians 2, that the Spirit searches all things, even, help me, even the depths, the unlimited, right? So everything that's down, everything that's up, everything that's this way, everything that's this way, right?
Amen.
You're supposed to be able to comprehend that.
Amen.
You're supposed to be able to see that, know that.
Amen.
And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you, look at this, that you might be filled. Can you say that word with me? Filled?
Filled.
Filled with all the fullness of God. And then verse 20 says, now.
Yeah.
Notice now joins what's being said to what's been said.
Yes.
You're filled with all the fullness of God now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work with us. That sounds like what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what hasn't entered into, right?
Right?
Exceeding, abundantly, above. I want you to notice one of the keys to all this, that you are filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, just think about that statement for a moment.
Yeah.
To be filled. And that word filled in the Greek would actually mean to cram, as in to cram the nets of a fisherman.
Wow.
That you would be crammed with the fullness of God. I want to read it out of the Amplified Classic. Do y'all guys have that on the screen? Yeah. Do they do them on the screens? Yeah, if you get that 19th verse in the Amplified Classic, I'll just read it off the screen. Or if not, no worries. I got it here. The 19th verse, I'm not in the right chapter though. It says this, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Look at this, that you may be filled through all your being, spirit. What's your being? Spirit, soul, body. Filled through all your being. Go to that next slide if you can. With all the fullness of God. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence. And become a body. Spirit, soul, and body. Become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself.
Amen.
Hello. How many know you don't have to be a preacher to preach? All you got to do is stand up and read that, and it just preaches. It makes you look good. It makes any preacher look good. That you may become a body wholly filled and flooded. You individually.
Amazing.
You, Horace. You, Winona, you know what, whatever your name is. That you as an individual may be a body. Wholly filled. That means there's no empty spot in you. Wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. You talk about being usable. Because if I can say it, you know, the big lie, not the one we talk about down in our country. That's a political thing. The big lie in the body of Christ, or, you know, not so much a lie, but it's been promoted in the body of Christ for decade after decade, that the highest expression of our faith is that we as Christians live for Him. And it's important to live for Him. But that's not the highest expression of our faith. Are you kidding me? Jesus didn't have to come for that. In the Old Testament, of course, they couldn't do it perfectly. But in the Old Testament, they could get to where they were living for God. And then, you know, there's other things that people get into. Well, you know, doing good works in the community. That's the highest. Come on, you don't have to be saved for that. Jesus didn't have to die for that. The highest expression of Christianity is not you living for God. It's God living through you.
That's right.
The new man. The God man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's perfect.
Now, all Christians believe that Jesus was a God man. He was fully God, fully human.
Yeah.
We're not just quite that, but we're human beings who have taken on the divine. I mean,
we have partakers of the divine nature,
Christ in you. Woo! Christ in you. The hope of glory. The expectation of His manifestation. Christ in you. So this is everything when it comes to being usable. And the issue, this is really, in some respects, you could say it's one of the biggest issues, is that Christians are not spiritual like they should be, because it's not that they're not well taught. It's not that they don't have a good church. It's that they just live so spiritually empty.
Yes, sir.
Who I call my spiritual father is Brother Kenneth Hagin. Now, if you knew my background, you'd be shocked that I call him my spiritual father, because I absolutely despised him.
Wow. Yeah.
as a young man in my early 20s who thought he knew a lot and knew nothing. I'd go into, back when Christian bookstores were a real big thing, I'd go into Christian bookstores and I'd look at these big, huge commentary sets, you know, 32 volumes on this, 23 volumes on this. And I even have some of those sets. And they look great on my shelf. And they haven't been off of my shelf. And then I'd turn around, I'd look at all those, wish I could afford them. I was young, you know, college student.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And anyhow, and then I'd look around and they'd have a little spinny rack, a wire rack. And on this wire rack were little mini books, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, Why Tongues.
Yes.
And I never looked at, I never opened one of those books. I wouldn't dare. First of all, they weren't hardback. They weren't multi-volume. And I honestly thought, because of who I was around, I honestly thought that the way you grow in Christ, and I desperately wanted to grow in Christ, I did. I thought that you had to read after those people. I thought there were so many volumes because they had so much revelation. I later came to find out there's so many volumes because they take so long to tell you what they don't know. Absolutely. I'm not lying. It's absolutely the truth. So they list everybody's position and they say, we really don't know which one it is. And I would think to myself, and I think to myself, what a wonder. Come on, everything's a song. I would think to myself, what heresy? How can a reputable establishment like this carry such trash? And I thought, you ought to take all those books and throw them in the trash and light it on fire and burn it. I despised anything that had his name on it. My spiritual father. You know, sons don't always get along with their fathers. Like, anyhow, obviously some things changed. I can't get into all that. But Brother Hagin, as a prophet to the body of Christ, had some experiences that are, you know, we were talking today at lunch. You don't form your doctrine based on visions and experiences, but he had some.
Yes.
Didn't use them to form doctrine, but did use them to get God's message across to his people.
Yeah.
And the last major vision that he had was in 1987. Now, the last major vision that pertained to the body of Christ, because God may have dealt with him otherwise that we don't know about. But that one in 1987, the Lord talked to him. This visitation was for a couple hours. And the Lord talked to him about really how the body of Christ worships. And it all had to do with the fact that we weren't able to go further. You weren't able to go further in spiritual things. You weren't able to get better results. You weren't able to grow, right? And so the Lord talked to him about a lot of things. And somebody asked Brother Hagin later, he said, well, what did he emphasize more than anything? And without hesitation, Brother Hagin said, easy. The thing he most emphasized in this visitation was believers learning to live full of the Spirit. You want to be usable? You got to live full. You got to live full. And that's God's will. God doesn't just want, you know, our definition of full sometimes isn't just quite his definition. Right?
Come on, preach.
Because with God, it's always my cup runneth over.
Amen.
We think that when the cup's full, to where, you know, to where anymore you can't carry it and move it around, we call that full. He calls it a good start. This isn't full. To him, fullness is based on, he just bases it on his ability, not our capacity. If you lack capacity, that's your fault. That's your fault. Increase your capacity.
That's right. That's good.
Very good. That's good. Very good.
Amen.
Amen.
And so he wants us so full of him. You might say, well, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 25 years ago. Doesn't mean you are living full. Well, I go to a Spirit-filled church. The only way there's such a thing as a Spirit-filled church is if the people in the church are actually presently full. Not you had an experience in the 70s in the charismatic renewal. I'm glad you were there. Glad you had the experience.
Yeah.
But what, like the saying goes, what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? What about recent experience?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And the fact of the matter is, listen, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. You don't know which one. You don't know what time. Amen? So I'm just going to say it. Listen.
Come on.
If I get invited back, glory to God. If I don't, glory to God. Most believers. Not just the ones in Brampton, Oakville, Hamilton, huh? But Mississauga, is there a Hamilton? Yeah, not just them. Not just them. But ones right here.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
Are way too empty.
Yes.
Way too empty. You wouldn't run your car on that level of fuel. Huh? You wouldn't set out for a trip on an eighth of a tank.
No. Yeah. Amen.
That's true.
It's very good.
It's helping.
Wow. It's very good.
How are you trying to navigate God's path with nothing in the tank?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah.
Very good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to have a line to hug everybody, just to hug everybody afterward. I feel like I'm hitting you hard. I don't.
No, it's good.
I'm a nice guy. I'm a sweet guy.
Good.
Sweeter than last time you saw me. But we got to live full. Full.
Hallelujah.
And here's the thing about it. You can't fake full. Because fullness is visible. If you're full according to God's definition, what are you doing?
Overflowing.
You're overflowing. That means what's in you
is coming out.
It's coming out of you.
That's
right.
Now, we talked about your little one. Pay attention. Stop texting. No, he's writing notes in his Bible. I see what he's doing. We talked about your little one.
Yes, sir.
It's been a minute, but we used to have them too. And my kids were born with the same condition that your daughter was born with. Meaning they were nonverbal.
Right.
For so you get them off of just the bottle.
Right.
And is she eating any baby food yet? Are we there? Yeah, okay. Gerber?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know what kinds they have. We had Gerber.
Amen.
And you take the, some of y'all love that stuff, huh? We. I mean, I think up here you just feed your babies Timbits. I don't know. But what's that? That's what I'd eat if I had to. I'd love me some Timbits. But I don't eat those foods anymore. So you get that, you get the lid off of it, right? And you get the spoon with the rubber.
Yes. Yes.
Why don't adults have those? Because those are good spoons. Like, why does a baby get that? So you put some in there. And I don't know about your baby. With ours, you had to make faces for them to open their mouth, right? And so put it. Yeah, you get it. Get them open, put it in. Wipe it with a spoon.
Right.
You go back for more, yeah? And you keep doing it. And eventually, you go to give them some more, and they say, hold up, Mom. I'm feeling rather full. I don't need any more of that. Is that what they say? No. 'Cause our babies have that thing. So the way you can discern
that's right. Yeah.
Fullness, what you do is you get the strained peas, smile, open your mouth, put it in. Well, a lot of times you put it in.
Yeah.
And they just stop swallowing.
Yeah.
And by that you're able to discern they're full.
Yes.
Now, I was in Atlanta well, just recently, but this is years ago, I was in Atlanta. Returning, I'd preached about 2 hours from Atlanta and was driving a rental car back, returned the rental car. And how do they want you to return that car?
Full.
So I go to a filling station close to the airport, and this was not a good part of town. And so you get out, you put the nozzle in there, you squeeze it, you set it and forget it, right? And then there's somebody that had something on their motorcycle in the next island over. So I went over to ask him about this piece of equipment. This is years ago. And so I'm talking to him about his motorcycle, and his eyes get really big. He said, "Buddy, your car." So I look over, and we're washing the parking lot with gasoline. Because it wasn't maintained well, so the auto shut off didn't shut off. See what I'm saying? And so I was able to deduce, to discern, to judge, to understand that my tank was full. Now, how did with the baby, how did we know there was full? What you were putting in started coming back out. With my car, how did I know it was full? What I'm putting in starts coming back out. I'll tell you if a Christian is full of God. Is God coming out?
Right.
You meet somebody who's full of God, you don't have to ask. You don't even have to ask, are you a Christian? You meet somebody that's full of God, they radiate God. They seep God. And if you hang around them, God will get off of them and onto you.
Yes, sir.
They'll spill.
Yes.
They'll spill.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so there's a couple things we need to be full of. First thing, we need to be full of the Word.
Yes.
How do you know if a Christian's full of the Word? The Word comes out. When you get squeezed, what's in you comes out. You squeeze a lemon, you get lemonade, right? If that's what you're after. You get lemon juice. You squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. You squeeze a Christian, what do you get? And how do you get squeezed? Circumstances will squeeze you. Tests and trials will squeeze you.
That's right. Amen.
Your spouse sometimes, come on, will squeeze you. Push your buttons. And we know what you're made of by how you respond. Huh?
It's very good.
I guess you almost quit here after an hour. Put some more money in the meter. Let's keep it going just a little bit. What's amazing to me is you can get so much word in a service, and then you leave the service, and that's the last anybody ever talks about it.
Come on.
Oh, guys, listen. I'm just trying to help us come up. I'm trying to help us come up. So, Christians ought to be. We ought to be word people. We ought to be. Answering the word when we get squeezed. The word ought to come out when circumstances come on. Come on. And so you need to be full of the word, but really, you also need to be filled with the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Living full. Living full of the Spirit. How many know Ephesians chapter 5? You know Ephesians chapter 5? It's only two pages over. Do you mind to turn the page? One page over?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, everybody. Now, I've always heard something. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've always just heard, you know, because I lived in Buffalo for a bunch of years, loved it, never would have moved if God hadn't told us to go. But I've always heard, you know, that, well, you know, our Canadian brothers and sisters, they're just more reserved. Yeah, anybody ever hear that? They're just more reserved than us down here.
Yeah.
Do you come from a different, does that happen? You drink enough maple syrup and people are just born, huh? You just born. What are we talking about when we're talking about reserved?
Right. Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, we're just reserved. Well, we say it. You've heard it. What does that refer to? What does that mean? I'm asking. Somebody help me. Say again.
Restrained.
Restrained. Non-responsive.
Yeah.
You know, to my knowledge, in the medical world, unresponsive is really bad. Right? That's really bad. Well, they're unresponsive. That's really close to dead.
Right, it is. So
true. Well, how was the church? Unresponsive. But reserved. This is not a genetic thing. That might be a culture or a personality, which has nothing to do with spirituality.
That's right.
I said it has nothing to do with spirituality. That's really part of your personality. You know, truthfully, you get me out of the pulpit. A lot of times I don't say a whole lot. That sometimes gets me not invited to things. Because I can be a little bit, you know, people call it antisocial. Really, I'm a nice guy. I just don't, conversational. I'm not ultra conversational if it's a topic I'm not comfortable with. But I'm not that way with my faith. I mean, that's a personality thing. Amen. That's a personality thing. But who cares what your personality is? Nobody's asking you to manifest your personality. But you do need to be full of Him. Filled with His Spirit. Filled with His Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to help you, and then we're going to close this up, send you home real shortly, okay?
Good,
verse 15, and if you get the Amplified, get it up there for me. But verse 15, chapter 5, Ephesians. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, right?
Yeah.
But as wise. In the Amplified is what I want. We're just going to go right to the... Oh, is that it?
Yeah,
thank you. Look at it, everybody. Look carefully then how you walk. Look at this. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Go to the next, please. Making the most of the time. Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Go to the next one. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish. What's with all the name calling? But understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Okay, Paul, what is the will of the Lord in the next verse? Do not get drunk with wine. For that is debauchery. What is drunk? Drunk is excessive fullness.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes?
Don't fill your life with wine, with the substance of the world.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's debauchery. But ever, this is what the will of the Lord is.
Yes.
Ever, forever, be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit, crammed to the point of fullness, an excessive intake of the substance of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And it said, this is the will of the Lord. This is the will of God. Folk all the time say, well, I just want to know God's will for my life. Well, yes, as we've said, God has plans that pertain just to you.
Yes. Yes.
But you'll never find out His specific will if you won't do His revealed will.
That's good.
Amen.
That's true.
Yes.
We are to not be vague, thoughtless, foolish, witless, but we're to be wise, sensible, intelligent people. Okay, Christians, what is wise? What is sensible? What is intelligent? The very thing that the world says is foolish. The very thing that a lot of churches say is fullness, foolish. Walking around closer to empty than full, that's foolish. But being so full of God to where God's coming out of you, things that people say is unintelligent, that's what the Bible calls intelligent.
Yes, sir.
It's what the Bible, come on now, what the Bible calls wise.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, sir.
And it's the only way to really be usable all the time.
That's right.
So we talked about being filled with the Word. How do you know you're full of the Word? Word's coming out of you.
Yes, sir.
How do you get full of the Word? You take the Word in.
Yes, right.
Right? And Jeremiah used this great analogy. He said, thy words were found, help me, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So you know what Jeremiah did. They gave him the scroll, and he took that scroll, and he cut it up, and he put some maple syrup on it. He was one of you. And no, that's not how you eat spirit. That's how you eat naturally. You take it in. It's not how you eat spiritually. But the principle's the same. You still take the word in. You take it in. You speak it. You read it. You chew it. You get it in you. And you keep doing it until it comes back out of you. Yeah? Okay, that's the word. And we eat his words. But then Jesus made this life-changing statement in John 7. He said at that last day, the great day of the feast. So this is something for the last days. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture says, out of his belly, out of his inner man, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Woo! And then the next verse says, this spoke he of the Spirit, which they who would believe on him were to receive. The Spirit hadn't yet been given because Jesus hadn't yet been glorified. So Jesus spoke of drinking of the Spirit to get full of the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? It's wrong to tell people to do it and not define how you do it, isn't it?
That's right.
How do you drink? Well, how do you get his words in you? You partake of the word.
Yes.
You sit under the word. You're getting fed here tonight.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then you know that's not enough. It's this good. This is like Sunday dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
You put on a big spread maybe Sunday, or we used to anyhow. Put on a big spread Sunday dinner. But listen, you still got to eat during the week.
Yes.
So you got to know how to feed yourself too.
Yes.
Right? So, well, how do we drink of the Spirit? How do we drink of the Spirit? Well, you partake of the expressions of the Spirit. You drink of the Spirit. How do I drink liquid?
Right.
I take it in. How do you, so we drink of the Spirit as we partake of the expressions of the Spirit.
Yes.
What are the expressions of the Spirit? Praise. Thank you. Worship.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Tongues.
Yes.
Rejoicing.
Yes.
All of those are spiritual expressions. Part of every Christian's repertoire.
Yes.
And as you do that, as you give expression to these things of the Spirit, you're filling up. You're filling up your inner man. You're filling up your tank. You're filling up your cup. And when you get to the point where it's just about full, you don't stop. But you keep going.
Yes.
Amen.
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 And as you keep going and keep yielding to these spiritual expressions, you become full. and somebody blesses you, cuts you off in traffic.
Right.
And instead of saying what your flesh would choose to say,
That's right. Yes.
You say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not because of them, because you're so taken up with God.
Yeah.
That you barely even notice
yes.
things that used to derail you.
Yes.
And when somebody's full of God, you can't keep them quiet. Listen, everybody's seen a sponge, yes? And you can have a sponge. Say you're washing your car or you're washing your motorcycle or something like that. You're washing a vehicle and you have that sponge in the bucket. If you were detailing it or whatever, and you leave that sponge out there and you forget about it and it's the sun's out and you come back several hours later, you pick up that sponge. You can still move it, but it's hard to move. It's kind of stiff.
Yes. Right.
And I mean, if you squeeze really, really hard, you might get a drop of water.
Yeah.
Right? Why? That sponge is more or less dry and empty. No water's been going in.
Yes.
Nothing's coming out.
Amen.
Right.
Just look straight ahead, everybody. So there's a lot of Christians.
Come on.
I'm going to look down the middle here so I'm not looking at anybody. There's a lot of Christians.
That's right, brother.
If you squeeze them hard enough. Give me some love, babies. Give me some love. You squeeze them hard enough, you might get a hallelujah. You might get a praise the Lord. A weak one. Squeeze them hard enough. If the worship extractor's up on the street, if they pull hard enough. Come on. All right, can we raise a hallelujah? Who will give me two hallelujah? But you leave that sponge soaking in the bucket.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you pick up that sponge. You don't got to squeeze it.
That's right.
You just look at it and it goes, oh.
Yeah.
And a full Christian.
Yes.
You don't got to squeeze nothing out of them. All you got to do is get within a few feet of them. They're like, glory. Glory,
yes.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You might say that's weird. That's wise.
That's wise.
That's sensible.
Yes.
That's intelligent.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of Christian. I know there's always people that will kind of go overboard with stuff. You know what I mean? That will make to where it's drawing attention to him. But listen, the person that's honest to God praising in a room full of empty people is not drawing attention to themselves.
Yes.
Everybody's angry because they're empty.
That's right.
Ushers, get ready. I need three or four of you when I go in the back room. No, here's the thing. When you go into the sandwich shop,
yes, sir.
And someone's there who needs healing, the full Christian will say, what's going on with your arm? He said, well, I'm just having trouble moving. And you say, give me that. In Jesus' name, be healed. And you start moving it, and it moves, and you're healed.
Yes.
And then later, your mind says, what did you do?
Yes.
And your spirit's like, does it matter? They got healed.
That's
is that okay?
Right.
Or you go in there, and there's a group of 20, we call them 20-somethings, you know, 20 years old. And they're all hanging out like, what are you guys doing? Where do you go to church? We don't go to church. Oh, you need to come to my church today.
Yeah.
Why do you need to come? Because you need Jesus.
Yes.
You need
right.
Jesus.
That's right.
In fact, you want to get born again? You ever heard about being born again? No. What's that? Oh, my God. You haven't heard about being saved? You never heard about being a new creation? You can be a new creation.
Yes.
Everything in your life can become new. You want that? Yeah, I think I do. Right now, let's do it right now.
Yeah.
And you get them saved and you bring them to church and your mind later says, what did you do?
Yeah.
We don't do that. And you say, shut up. Yeah. Shut up. They got saved, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. Bro. Yes.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. It's healthy.
Yeah. Glory
to God.
Keep going.
Empty Christians don't do those things. Empty Christians come in and they see the person with the arm in the sling and they say, oh, can you get someone else to make my sandwich? Because I need to get out of here. I'm in a hurry. And then we come to church and have the audacity to pray for revival. And we sing, pour out your power and love. Oh, please. Oh, please. You know, I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. You know that saying? Sorry, not sorry. I don't come to a place to leave it the same.
That's right.
I so didn't think I would say anything that I said. But listen, if there's some shock factor to it, let it shock you. Let it shock you into fullness. Amen. In the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. Your old men shall dream dreams, or one of them will dream dreams, one of them will see visions. I forget what it was. Amen. But all my servants and all my handmaidens, not just all my ministers, all my servants and all my handmaidens, in those days I will pour out of my spirit and they will prophesy, meaning they'll speak by the Spirit. They'll do things by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. No more empty. Amen. No more unresponsive. No more reserved. Reserved is what they do for the seats so nobody sits in them. Amen. It's not you. It's not you. I'm not reserved. I'm that sponge where I'm a service. You just look at me with anointing. I'm like, whoa, hey, whoo! And that needs to be more of us.
Yes, sir.
No more having praise extractors. They're just leaders. They're just leaders. Their job is just to get you to hush when it's time for something else to happen. Come on now. Yeah. It's not for them to pull a praise out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up, change your position if you would, and just give God some praise for a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Glory to God. Let me tell you a story. You can be seated. I just wanted you to change your position. I'm closing. You know what that means. Now, there's a phenomenon in the body of Christ. I want to know what a ventriloquist is. There's a huge movement of Christian ventriloquism going on. Where when a minister says, give God praise, they're able to do it without moving their lips or opening their mouth. I've noticed it. I mean, there's just a great number of these talented individuals in the body of Christ. They're able to project their voice somehow without, you know, because, you know, a ventriloquist, you ever seen with a puppet, and they're not moving their mouth, but the puppet is making the sound, right? So it's just amazing how you can say, everybody stand up and praise the Lord, and there's people that can do it like this. If you tried to do that when it came to drinking water, you'd die. You'd die. You can't. You know how we know the baby's full? Something's coming out of the
mouth.
You know how I knew the tank was full, something was coming out of the mouth of the tank.
That's right.
Christian full, something got to be coming out of the
mouth.
The mouth. Amen. There was something important I wanted to tell you, and it's coming to me. But why don't I turn it back over to you guys and see what you can do with this? Amen. And maybe it'll come to me while I'm sitting here. So tag.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm looking for the ventriloquists. I'm looking for you. I see one back there. Any other ones back there? When it comes, just interrupt, brother. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Because we need it. And I'm grateful that he said what he didn't plan on saying, because I prayed, Lord, let the Holy Ghost speak through him what our church needs. And this has been a tremendous help. And you will be invited back. And I don't know when, but you will be. No, I'm just kidding. No. He'll be invited back real soon, because we need that. We need that help. Can I say, like, we have a Holy Ghost? We haven't had a Holy Ghost service in a while because the schedule has just been so packed. But next Sunday night, you know, I'm not traveling, I'm home. And so we're having a service next Sunday night, which is a Holy Ghost service. And so we're going to just, you know, spend some time doing what he taught tonight, what I've taught you as well, worshiping, praising, rejoicing, drinking, praying in the Holy Ghost, just drinking and just soaking a little bit. And we do that at often when we have Holy Ghost services. But I just want to, the Lord just prompted me in my heart when I was thinking about that. I said, Lord, we're going to have some time next Sunday to really just soak, like he said. Just be Sunday said. So, and as I was just thinking that, I heard the Holy Ghost in my heart, just real sweet. And he said, and that's the problem. I thought, what do you mean that's the problem? We're going to have a Holy Ghost service. What's the problem with that? We're going to have time to soak. But I heard him say, and that's the problem. Now, he's not talking about next Sunday night as being the problem. He's talking about, and that's the problem, because the mindset of people is, I'll wait till next Sunday night. But what about tomorrow morning? What about tomorrow after you get home from work? You see, if we have the mindset, I'll get full in church, then you're going to be limited to when the church service is operating and a service that is conducive to that type of flow. And that's the problem. The problem is we've got to learn to live like this when there's no church service. We've got to learn to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Ghost, and have that word and start to rejoice. That's why Wigglesworth danced for 10 minutes in the morning, because he was getting full. And he lived out of that flow all day. Amen. We're going to have Holy Ghost service. It's going to be wonderful. But, you know, it's not just about the service. It's about tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, Tuesday afternoon, when you're at work. You know, you can't make distractions. I understand. You got to be professional. But you can still have that connection and that fellowship with God. And then when you get alone and when you're driving, instead of listening to the radio or listening to some secular music, just put in some and just start to laugh. That's what I do. I drive and I just start to pray in the Holy Ghost and say, ha, 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 ha. And I don't feel anything. But all of a sudden something starts to bubble and something starts to bubble, and then I start laughing a little harder, and then I start rejoicing, and then instruction comes, and then clarity comes, and then I feel strength come. And then I was doing that the other day, and I pulled up to their horns and I said, I want this thing, and they said they didn't have it, and I said, oh, I really was in the mood for that. I said, okay, well, you know, what about that one, you know, the other sandwich? And she said, I have it. And I went, oh, glory to the Lord Jesus. And it just came out without me even realizing it came out, because I had just been singing and praising all the way down from Aaron for 30 minutes. And I said, oh my Lord, why did I say that? And when I pulled up, she kind of looked at me like with a weird look, you know, and I just said, how you doing? And she says, oh, well, I'm good. Obviously you're good too. And I said, I am good, sister. And then I thought, why am I calling her sister? She's a Hindu. But I just said, I'm doing great. I just love Jesus. And she was so, she didn't know how to respond. There's people behind me. I can't get into a long witnessing thing, but it just came out. It just came out, and not because I was in a Holy Ghost service, because I took time to drink. You got to drink, but you also got to eat. If you're only drinking, you're fasting. You got to eat. Can I tell you what a rabbi in India, a rabbi in his homeland, Israel, told me once. He said, we were talking and they were saying, sharing how they, it's amazing how much they follow the word more than we do in some weird way. Because they were saying, oh, yeah, we have family discussions. And then they would quote me scriptures about how the Old Testament says, talk around your table, meditate and talk to your children around the table. And that, and the Orthodox Jews actually do that. They make it a family event and they talk about it. And then he said to me, he said, you want to know how we get our children to read the Torah? How to get them excited about reading the Torah? I said, yeah, sure. Because I'm thinking, you know, we want our children to be excited about the word. And he said, well, you know, they have you know, scrolls and they have these kind of things. But he said, we put drops of honey on every like phrase. Like there'll be a phrase in Hebrew and then another phrase to make up a sentence. He said, we put drops of honey. And he said, that's what we did when I was a boy. Now we put M&Ms. On every phrase. And he said, and the little kids come, and he said, what I would do is I would lick that honey, and then I'd read and lick that honey. And he said, we did something natural to show them that the word is sweet. That the word is sweet. Now, I don't know if you want to put a Mars bar on your whatever you need to do. I don't care what you need to do. But I'm just saying, you got to get it to the place where the word is sweet to you. Where the word is, oh, I just want to read it. I want to read it. Now, if you all become 30 pounds heavier next Sunday, I'll know that you maybe took this too far. But my point is that they want the children to associate sweetness with the scriptures. And you've got to associate the word being sweet, or you won't, like he said, put it in so that the first thing that when you get a squeeze, it comes out. Drinking and eating, drinking and eating, drinking and eating. When you have breakfast tomorrow, you're drinking and eating. Think to yourself, have I ate anything spiritually? And have I drank of the Spirit right now? And then when you have lunch, have I ate anything spiritually? Have I thought about the Word at all for the last 3 hours? Have I drank? Have I talked to the Holy Ghost? Have I rejoiced at all? You gotta get into the daily lifestyle. I'm so tired of it being a church event. It's got to be a daily lifestyle. Then when you come to church, you won't be the ventriloquist. Then poor Taylor is not going to have to be the extractor, capital E. Taylor, a.k.a. the extractor, Morris. He doesn't have to do that because you've come in and you're not, you don't have that dry, stiff, you got, it's dripping out of you. That, brother, thank you. Masterful, helpful, bold, funny. Annoying? No, I'm just, no, it's just perfect. It's perfect tonight. Did you remember what you wanted to share? Or it's gone. It's gone. It flew away. Well, I think we need to bless him. Please don't let this just be another sermon. Please live it. Please live it. I'm trying. Listen, I'm not perfect. I have days where I don't do it as much as I should, but I'm trying because I want God, I want the fullness of him in me. And I'm telling you, it's a daily thing. It's not just a church service thing. We have deluded ourselves into focusing on church service. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be in church services. I'm saying that is the coming together with your supply, with your wet sponge, to be even filled more. But what about in the daytime? What about in the week time? What about when there's nobody else around you? You got to learn to stay full. You got to learn to stay full. Hallelujah. We want to be spiritual. So I encourage you to live this, not just in a church service, but tomorrow morning. Even tonight as you go home. You can practice drinking tonight as you go home. You can practice it on your bed, meditating on the word. Life has to be, it has to be just a constant cycle. It has to be a constant thing. Word and spirit, word and spirit, word and spirit. It's my life. It's not my duty. It's not what I do on Sundays. Oh, it's my life. It's my life. It's my lifestyle. Things will change for you. You won't need counseling as much. You won't be confused. You won't be as sick. You won't need advice from, you can get advice if you need it. But the Holy Ghost is the counselor. He didn't say I was a counselor. He said he's the counselor. He's on the inside. You just get full. You'll know what to do. You'll know to do the surgery or not the surgery. Or whatever, take the job. Or is that relationship right or not or whatever. What should I buy? You'll know. You'll know. Hallelujah.